Welcome to the We Are Here podcast, a podcast all about entrepreneurship on the South Coast, collecting stories and lessons from entrepreneurs and community leaders to learn firsthand how they've built their business or organization so we can build our own. The South Coast is a small place, and we're letting the business world know that we are here. Show your support by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/thewearehere podcast and join the newsletter for all of our latest announcements and upcoming episodes at southcoast.fm/subscribe. That's southcoast.fm/subscribe. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Happy out of quarantine week. I don't know. I'm just looking at my Instagram feed and I'm just seeing all these people who are just out and about as if COVID never happened. I don't know about you. I'm still wearing my face mask when I'm out in public. It's the law in some places and others. I'm just saying, hey, I don't want to get this stuff. So let's all be responsible adults here and keep this thing down, right? Today's guest, Brandon Burke. He is a current cohort member of the E4All program, and they're running a company called BB Cuts, and they're building out an app for on-demand beauty and barber services. And today we had him on the podcast to talk about that venture, and this is going to be a first for me. I'm interviewing a current E4All cohort business, and then when they graduate E4All, we'll get them back on the show so we can see the difference, right? So it's that complete story arc. I think that's one of the biggest benefits of E4All, right? If you're thinking about building a business, definitely check out the South Coast E4All. And you can connect with them at e4all.org or go to the Facebook page or go to the many pitch contests and meetups that they have. But I think the biggest benefit for joining an accelerator program, aside from all of the business acumen you come out with, It's that change. It's the self-reflection of who you are as a business person. When you go into it, you're like, I got the best idea ever. Everyone wants it. And then you go through the paces of building a real business. And you're like, oh, you know what? That idea might not be the best. Or maybe it is, and you just need to refine it. But I like that change. It's constant. It's constant in business, as it always should be. It's never just a one-and-done thing. If you're buying these blueprints, these courses where people are telling you that all you have to do is this and you make money, yeah, it might last for like a weekend, but it takes some real effort, takes some real, well, self-reflection and fumbling and stumbling, upsides and downsides. So speaking of courses, go to learn.southcoast.fm. If you want to get into the game of content marketing, you've heard of it, you know nothing about it, but you know that, look, if you got out there more with podcasts, with blogs, with email newsletters, and you want to get some solid fundamentals around your tool belt, go to learn.southcoast.fm. That's my free content marketing course. I promise you that it's fast and efficient. It's going to set the base layer of understanding content marketing. Maybe you have a boss, right? Maybe you've been telling your boss, hey, boss, we need to do blogging, content marketing, we need to do something that's evergreen for our brand. Send them to learn.southcoast.fm, southcoast.fm/subscribe. Find us on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. All right, let's get into talking to Brandon.
I'm Brandon Burke. I grew up in New Bedford, Massachusetts, a whaling city. I went to school in Connecticut, graduated recently last year, and while I was there, I decided I wanted to start cutting hair in order to make some extra money while I was at school and not have to work a job that would have a schedule so that I would be able to devote my time to my studies and good grades and stuff like that, what they tell you to do. So while I was there, I started cutting hair, and I noticed that I had like a knack for like the beauty industry, right? I liked studying about it. I liked watching YouTube videos on different techniques on how to cut hair, but I knew I wanted to do more than that, right? So usually a barber stays behind the chair. They go the conventional route, go to school and learn the trade, and then go and either work in their own barbershop or work in another barbershop. I knew I wanted to be different, so with that, I built the BB Cuts brand and joined my two partners, Grantha Bethia and Devon Senna, and we've been rolling ever since. We got this app going, and we're very excited about it. Thank you again, Matt.
Yeah. So there's lots of stuff I want to dive into. I'll tell you one thing. When I was in school, all I could think about was building a business. I mean, I came from, my family owned businesses ever since I could ever remember. I worked in a family business and it was a tough challenge, man. Like going to school and I don't know about you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it's just like, hey, you know, hey, sit down and learn this, you know, this math stuff that you're never going to use again. And I'm like, the only math I want to know is like, how many customers can I get? How much can I sell them at? And how can I grow this business? Right. And how can I scale that? I mean, I feel like education, this is going to be a huge sidetrack, but I feel like education should actually focus a lot more on entrepreneurship early days, like in you know, maybe even middle school into high school. I don't know if you had the same feelings, but interested to grab your thoughts on that.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, I think like it should start early, but I feel like there's some kind of, I don't know what power it be, but there's some power out there that doesn't want you to explore the entrepreneurial route. They want you to get a job and be a good, you know, tax paying citizen, right? You know, we all understand we got to pay our taxes, but like, I feel like there's different ways that you could go about it, you know? I just think that entrepreneurship should be pushed early on. And also another thing that should be pushed early on is like how to do the adult stuff, you know, pay your taxes, file them and things of that nature, get a mortgage and things. There's a lot of stuff I can go on about, but as far as the entrepreneurship thing, yes, I agree with you.
You know, to be fair, one of these things, like, I don't think everyone is cut out to be an entrepreneur, right? Once you know, a lot about being an entrepreneur is a lot about failure and trying things out and falling on your face. And a lot of people are not really, you know, mentally built for that, right? And emotionally built for that, because it's a roller coaster ride. I mean, one of the biggest surprises for me, you know, when I started my agency over a decade ago, probably at 12 years ago at this point, I read this book by this guy called Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Work Week. And I was just like, this is amazing. Like, I can work 4 hours a week and like, I can just build this business.
I gotta read that.
Of course I want to do this, right? So you sort of get like jaded and you're like, yeah, this is going to be easy. And I see how you can outsource things. And then, you know, the real practice of building a business. And for those of you listening, one of the ideas that I'm trying to do with the show is we're going to re-interview Brandon once the eForAll program is done, once he has graduated from the eForAll program, because what I'm really interested in is how Brandon is going into the eForAll program with his new business, and in 90-ish days, like how his perspective changes on his business and I guess entrepreneurship at large. So Brandon, give us the concept behind the app, the software, what you're building, and what's next for
Babycuts. So we've described it thus far as basically the Uber for haircuts. So you know that you could be at your house and you can order an Uber right to your house, come pick you up and go basically wherever you want to go. We want to bring that experience into the beauty industry. So we want to be able to have a customer say they want a haircut, but they don't want to travel to go to their professional. They don't want to wait in line. They don't want to sit in a waiting room. They don't want to, some people get anxious and they don't want to make the phone call to schedule the appointment. Some people deal with anxiety. I understand that. So we want to provide a solution for those people that want to get their beauty professional services done in the comfort of their own home. So that's what we're doing. We're making it so the client can order their favorite professional service. And it's not just haircuts. It's hairstyles, salon, coloring, nails, eyebrows, you name it, you know? So, we want to be able to bring that into the comfort of their own home. And then we also want to do corporate accounts where you can get multiple people getting their hair done in one location rather than them having to go out individually and go out and get their services done. And we can also cater to weddings. We just want to bring the beauty professional services that you love to go out and get to you. And that's basically the business model. And currently where we're at is that we're in stage two of development. So we got the graphical interface done and everything, how the user experience is going to be. Now we're doing the code behind it, right? The functionality, the buttons, the profile design, beauty professional. When you go to their profile, you're going to be able to go into their pictures and their portfolio and see all the work that they've done so that the customer can choose if they're the right beauty professional for them. So that's currently where we're at.
Saying that we are living in interesting times is a vast understatement. With COVID and this whole pandemic, how did this bomb drop on you? I mean, because I'm imagining this concept was, I mean, we started E for All this season in the midst of COVID. And I'm sure your idea was created well before this. So how did this bomb change the outlook and maybe the approach of the business?
So I feel as if COVID was like a blessing in disguise, because we weren't ready to launch yet when COVID first came out. So we still needed to do a lot of planning and development. So I think it actually helped us, because two out of the three of us actually work full-time jobs, and being able to work from home and stuff like that helped us really take a step back and think about like where we were and where we needed to go moving forward. And it gives us a lot of extra time to, actually take in the E for All program and get the best out of it. So I think it was really good. And also for marketing purposes, once everything opens back up, we'll be able to launch and emerge as something that's gonna, you know, something that's going, I can't put the best words to it, but I think that it's helping us more than hurting us.
And I can tell you one thing, a lot of people now are going to be, well, first, they're going to be used to like ordering things and getting them delivered to their house, right? There's such a huge amount of consumers out there that had never done anything like a Peapod or like a home food delivery. And obviously with the COVID stuff, that's all I did. That's all I did was Peapod and Walmart pickup, right? Because I don't have to go into the store and I don't have to touch anything except for the food and the bags. So a lot of people are now going to get conditioned to that, which is definitely a benefit for you. But the ease of access, right? That's like what a lot of people want. They just want to say, you know, I just want to get my hair cut and I want to maybe check off like the different options. So I know with my barber, he uses just like this reservation platform, and I can, you know, if I want to do my beard, I can check off beard. If I want to do like, he has like a couple extra things I can do too. So, you know, when I go to book, I can check that off, and it makes it easy for him because he doesn't have to ask me. And it's like, he just sort of upsells me through the app. You have a lot of potential there. Have you started to explore the opportunity with surveying and asking people if they would use an app like this?
That's actually the next step. So the next class in E4All is where we're going to learn how to put our surveys together. But we have been learning a little bit about that. And one of the things that one of our survey questions, actually, I have it right here. It was to make a hypothesis for the survey. So our hypothesis was the beauty professional would rather work independently than work in a shop. That was basically the hypothesis. And we're fine tuning that, obviously, but that's the basis for it.
Well, I've always been interested to learn like the dynamics between, I think one of the big things, and correct me if I'm wrong, and again, this is going to be another sidetrack, but I think one of the big things with like the barber client relationship is, you know, we get to know mm-hmm. each other, we have conversations, you know, it's a lot of like, it's a little bit of therapy, right?
Yes.
From the male's perspective, you go and you sit down, you talk about life, you talk about work, you talk about all this stuff. But I'm always interested to see how these barbers grow their practice, and they bring in other barbers, you know, and it's always like, hey, there's a seat open, and the person rents the seat and they become a client, or they build up their own client list. And then eventually maybe those guys get really good and then they move on, right? And then they start their own Absolutely. Practice. How does this balance? Does this benefit just the solo practitioner, or if somebody's like owning a business and renting seats, is there a play there as well where it helps maybe retain good talent or retain customers at large?
Yeah. So one of the things that was brought about in our mentor meeting, and we think this is a really good idea, is that we should not only be a platform for the professionals that want to go out and do remote haircuts, but also for the beauty salon owners that are looking for a marketing platform to pull in more clients. So that's something that we plan on implementing as well.
From the software side, how much software development experience or web development experience did you and your co-founders have getting into this?
Okay, so my co-founders have none, as far as I know. And me, very, very little. I had one coding class in college where we used the Arduino board and the C programming language. But from my understanding, a project like this is much more complex in regards to coding. So that's why we needed to hire an independent contractor to come in and do that work for us. Basically, we meet with him every 2 weeks, and he takes in our requests. We gave him like a whole mock-up sketch of what the pages that we wanted for the app. Mm-hmm. And then like it's his job to like turn it into, like, take our dreams and turn it into reality as far as the software programming goes. So that's what we got going on right now.
And how did you guys come up with the mock-ups? Like, did you look at other apps? I'm just curious how you came up with, like, the creative side of that and how you manipulated it to demonstrate to a developer.
Sure. We actually did take a look at a couple apps. In our research, we went into the app store and basically searched up what we were looking for on-demand beauty services. We found a couple apps, but we noticed that they didn't have it didn't seem like they had much of a customer base on both the professional and the beauty and the client side. So we noticed that there was a spot in the market for us to jump right in. As far as the mockups go, yeah, we use the pages on there, and we also just thought, like, what will our client want to see on both the professional and the client side? And we basically turned it into that. And we also wanted to model it similar to the on-demand apps that you know, like the Uber and the Lyft. So we use that for inspiration as well, as far as, like, the map goes and locating your professional and things like that.
Where do you find the particular challenge? Like, when this app is ready, what's the first one or two things you're going to do? That one is going to probably be the biggest challenge for you, but what are those two things that you're going to try to attempt to do as soon as this app is ready?
So as soon as this app is ready, before we even launch it, what we want to do is we want to have a extensive marketing campaign where especially all the new professionals that are coming out of school, they all know about it. So we plan on doing radio ads, flyers, online ads, getting ads in the apps that a lot of people use. The safety is a huge thing. That's one of our major challenges right now. We decided we want to implement background checks, but the safety, I would say, is a big challenge that we're going to face. And you're going to hear about how we solve that when you interview me again.
Let's dive into that just a little bit, because I think that, you know, obviously one of the challenges, and when you say safety, now I think when you say safety, the first thing that comes to my mind is safety is a whole new word now with COVID, right? Yeah. Now it's like, it's the safety of COVID, right? It's like, oh, are these people, you know, sterilizing equipment? Are they spraying things down? Are they, you know, do we have to give them what do you call it? Check their temperature when they come into the house. But then there's like, hey, this person, I have no idea who this person is coming into my house. So there's that whole safety side of it. I would say that maybe even one of the bigger opportunities is bringing in this app to the barbershop owners or the beauty salon owners and using it as a booking and staffing situation. Is that something that has ever crossed your mind, or is that what mentors are talking about? Or do you just say, no, I still think the in-home delivery, or I'll call in-home delivery, is still the route to go?
Well, as far as the routes to go, we're actually exploring other ones as well. I know one of our mentors, Curtis, brought into the meeting an idea of actually having vans go out instead of going into someone's house. So that would be more of like a safety solver, if you will. Sure. So that, but as far as the salon owner thing, right, I don't see that as being one of the bigger challenges, just because that business model already exists and we would just be a competitor in that realm. But the bigger challenge lies in the in-home remote, you know, type of business model.
Are there any competitors doing what you're doing on like a national level?
On a national level, no. That was part of our research to search up other beauty on-demand beauty apps, and like they are out there, but like in Massachusetts, in a state where it's legal for you to do mobile cuts, I couldn't find one that could service me. So that tells me that they're not national, because to me, like, I'm from Mass. I eat, sleep, and breathe Mass. So it's like, I feel like we're one of like the biggest states for like commerce and stuff like that. So it's like, if I can't find one here, then there's definitely room for us to grow within that space.
How do you think a business like this is going to do on the South Coast? We're like an hour south of Boston. We're a half an hour from Providence, another half hour from the Cape, or 45 minutes-ish. And it's like, we're sort of in this no man's land. How do you think the market will react to this product?
Well, like you said before, everybody needs a haircut. So, I mean, I feel like a haircut might be a little bit more, you know, desirable than a car, as desirable as a car is. So I think we'll do just fine. It's all about how we market and making sure we define our the correct customer, making sure that we know the entire profile of the customer, where they shop, what they drive, what kind of income they have. So I just think it's important that we target the customer. And the simple fact that everybody grows hair and everybody's going to need their hair service somehow helps us out a lot. Yep. You know? Yep. So I think we'll be fine.
Yep, absolutely. 100%. 100%. So let's talk about the thing. What are the things that have been going pretty smoothly for you? Like, what are the things that, you know, when maybe you first started this a while back, you were like, boy, this is going to be a pretty big challenge. But, you know, here we are in June of 2020. Has there anything that has gone pretty smooth so far?
I would say thanks to my CPA, the business formation part has been pretty easy. You know how they say, like, if there's things that, like, you got to leave it to the professionals when it comes to certain things. I know as an entrepreneur, you could probably feel me on this. You want to do everything. You want to see if you can cut out the middleman with everything that you do.
Right.
But right. As far as the business formation goes, I feel like that's been pretty smooth. Also, just being able to form a business with my friends, people that are like-minded as me, I think that's been one of the smoothest things, like getting them to come on board and really believing in the vision and the process and going through everything with me. So I'd say that's pretty much been the smoothest thing. In regards to the app itself, the developer, he's been pretty smooth with us. It was tough finding a developer that was willing to do it within our budget. But after we got him on board, he's been pretty understanding. He's been reaching out to us. We've been having meetings with him every 2 weeks. So the development process has been going really smooth as well.
Let's flip it on the other side. What's been the most challenging thing so far?
Yeah, back to the developer thing. So we were doing some searching online for, you know, app development companies, and boy, they want like $30,000-$40,000 for the development, which I understand because it's a lot that goes into it. You know, you spend a lot of time learning how to code. So I'm not complaining or knocking it or anything. I'm just saying it's like definitely from kids coming out of college, it's not really feasible. But that was one of the challenges. Right. Another challenge was developing our financial projections. We're still looking for help from that with that from E4All. Financial projections is huge. Like, I think that once we get our pricing model together, that will be a lot easier to do as well. But that's one of the challenges. Another challenge is, like I said before, two of us have a full time job, so it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to find time to find time to work on your own projects. But if you really want it, you'll get it done. Those have been my biggest challenges.
Yeah, any of the business analysts that are listening, you know, first of all, reach out to Brandon and see if you can help him with the financial projections. But my advice is it's just a shot in the dark. Like, you just throw a dart out there and see if it lands. And that's the way I've always done it, for better or for worse. It's like, you know, I don't know if you follow Gary Vaynerchuk at all. Sort of this, this prolific marketing and business guy. But I remember him first starting out. It was the same way I started my agency, just happenstance, right? So it's like when he started his agency, he said, I don't know what to price my service. So I would ask somebody, will you pay $10,000 for this? And they said yes. And then he's like, okay. So I went to the next person, will you pay $30,000 for this? And they said yes. You know, and then he went to the next guy and he was like, will you pay $60,000 for this? And the guy said, jump off a bridge. He said, okay, well, all right, how about I sell it to you for like $40,000? And the guy said yes, right? So he's like, and that's how I literally started doing my pricing. Like, I would just ask people, will you pay it? And, you know, it won't happen like that in every case, but that's always like a story that I go back to. It's easier in the services side. What kind of mark do you want to leave with this business? What's the end game look like for you? Are you looking at going national? Is it something where a regional play is a good feeling for you? Like, what do you really want to get out of being a CEO and a business owner?
So as far as BB Cuts goes, we want to start in the Massachusetts area just because we're from around here. But we've actually done some research in regards to how many states legally will accept our service. And there's quite a few states. So we want to be national, and we kind of want to push legislators to make mobile services legal in all states. We kind of want to like be so good in the states that allow it right now that they're going to, the people that in the states that don't allow it will be pushing the legislators to allow it so that they can get the great service in their area. So we want to be national. Us three think really big. So we think that if there's a spot where someone wants a haircut, we want to reach that. So that can be in another country. But as far as where we're at now, we want to start local. We want to be able to go out to our customers and survey them within our area. So we want to start small and then grow big. As in regards to like the mark that I want to leave, I just want to show people that you can come from any background and you can build something big and you can be a CEO. You don't have to be confined to what you see in your environment. You can really grow something big and you can be up there with the greats. So that's the mark I want to leave.
It's Brandon Burke. He's the CEO of BB Cuts. You can find BB Cuts at bbcuts.com. Brandon, you have some merchandise up there, right? People can buy and help support.
Yes, sir. I've got t-shirts, hoodies, hats, windbreakers, mugs, you name it.
And then this will be the website for where the app will live, right, in the future. Or at least that's where all the marketing information will be for connecting to the mobile app and all that.
Yes. Yeah, so right now it's just merchandise, but a website with all of our stuff is in the works. Blog posts, the app. You're gonna be able to book through the app soon. It's just that we're building that in the back end, but the merchandise is what's there now.
All right, I can't not have my mentor hat on. Let's get an email sign up there as soon as possible, okay, so that you can start building an email list.
Gotcha.
And then as soon as everybody signs up to that and you're ready to go, you just email people and say, hey, the app's ready, the website's ready, the product is ready, and then you just email all those people.
Thank you so much for that.
That's the best way for. Yeah, so best way for people to stay connected. Speaking of the best way to stay connected, the best way to stay connected to the Southcoast.fm podcast is southcoast.fm/subscribe, where there's an email list you can sign up for. And I send an email every Sunday, southcoast.fm/subscribe. You join the Sunday Notes newsletter. And last but not least, South Coast Content Creators Group, southcoast.fm/creators. That'll take you to my free Facebook group where there's about 100 people in there, 100 local small businesses that are interested in about content marketing, creating blog posts, creating email newsletter signups, social media posts, videos. It's a great group. Everyone shares their marketing advice. All right. Thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you in the next one.